I'm Faith Middleton. Thanks so much for listening. At WNPR.org, you'll find our archive of stories. In the search box, type in the keyword Faith, F-A-I-T-H. For a time, I volunteered to do interviews for the Holocaust Archive at Yale University. My friend Laurel Vlock led me there. She was one of the founders and shining lights. After a short while, I was not all right because of what I heard from the survivors. I had to stop. Laurel said the same thing happened to her, but she was able to keep on doing it for a very long time. I wish I could have. And so I sat stunned last night preparing for this interview right now with one of the great directors and acting teachers alive today, Jack Garfine. I love movies, and so I was especially thrilled to have this conversation because Jack Garfine taught Steve McQueen, George Peppard, and Bruce Dern. He directed James Dean, Uta Hagen, Shelley Winters, Susan Strasberg, and Jessica Tandy. The list goes on and on. His students include Sissy Spacek and Juliette Binoche. He founded the Actors Studio West, the Actors and Directors Lab, and then created both the Harold Klerman and Samuel Beckett Theaters on Theater Row. Jack Garfine has a book out in paperback called Life and Acting, Techniques for the Actor. It's amazing. But what I was not aware of was his story. I learned the details of it from an essay about Jack written a long time ago on a standard typewriter by Herman Stiler. It tells the story of Jack Garfine at age 17, finally in New York, after surviving 11 different Nazi concentration camps. In these camps, his mother and sister were burned to death. His father was there too. Jack Garfine weighed 45 pounds when the camp was liberated. And so no, this story I was not prepared for. But when I hold these two things side by side, the book about his remarkable life in acting and this essay about his childhood, I think to myself, yes, 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 life is the best revenge. Jack Garfine, author of Life and Acting, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
It's great to have you here.
Thank you. You know, Laurie's father actually saw me when I was 15. That's when I arrived in this country.
You're talking about Mr. Stiler, who wrote that essay?
Yes, exactly.
Wow. Well, you know, the first thing I wanted to ask you about was a conversation that I had a long time ago with director Lloyd Richards.
I knew Lloyd, yeah.
It was about critics. And he said to me once that the best of them was Harold Klerman, because when Harold Klerman criticized you in print, it wasn't malicious or egotistical. He was teaching you something.
Yeah.
Do you think so?
Oh, my God, absolutely. I had a great experience with Harold. You know, when he came to L.A., I used to drive him around, and he said to me, Jack, please, you got your own work. You got things to do. I said, listen, Harold, as long as you keep talking, I'll keep driving. Now, you want me to tell you an experience I had with him about that?
Yeah.
Well, you know, right after my divorce, I was married to Carol Baker at the time. You know, I went through the depression, but particularly in my case, it was particularly painful because, you know, it was the first family I had here in the States, and it was breaking up, and my ex-wife was leaving for Rome with my kids, and Harold happened to come to L.A. at the time. So he invited me for breakfast, okay? And so the waiter came over, and he said, so, gentlemen, what are you going to have? And I was complaining to Harold about my life. I wasn't interested in work. I couldn't do anything. So Harold turned to the waiter and he said, I'll have a bagel and two scrambled eggs. And for him, give him some sour milk. So there, meaning the spirit of Harold. Now, then he came to one of my classes and he knew that at the time that I invited him, because why would I invite him to come and comment on my class? He always used to say, I'm your colleague. I'm not your teacher or your inspiration. I'm your colleague, Jack. So, but I insisted that he come to the class. But he was sharp enough and bright enough, Faith, that he knew something I didn't even know. Mm-hmm. So he watched the class, and instead of criticizing the actors, he turned on me in front of everybody. And he said, Jack, Go ahead. Wreck your talent. Ruin your talent. Mood. We don't need mood. Action, Garfine. Damn it. Action. In front of all my students.
Well, wow.
That afternoon, I was trying to think what form my suicide should take. Okay? And I had a lunch date with him the next day. I said, okay, I'm not going to go to that lunch date. Let him wait. Okay. But about 20 of one, Faith, I decided, okay, I'm going to go. So I went. He was there waiting for me, and he said, you're still angry? I said, yeah, good. Let's eat.
Oh, my God.
And when Stella Adler, you know, his ex-wife, heard the story, she said to me, all I can tell, Jack, he really loved you.
Wow.
And apropos of that, about the theater and acting, he was in L.A. to direct a Chekhov play. And it was the week of the moon landing. And the night of the moon landing, I was so happy he was in L.A. because I wanted to call him the next morning and ask him how he felt when he saw that astronaut take a footstep on the moon, okay? So I said, Harold, how did you feel when that astronaut took a footstep? I really want to know your reaction. He says, you want to know the real truth of what went through my head? I said, yeah, I want to know the real truth. He says, my first thought was, oh, yeah, but can he direct Uncle Vanya?
This is great. Speaking of great, one of the greatest living directors and teachers of actors, Jack Garfine is my guest, founder of the Actors Studio West. He's taught and directed some of the greatest ever to take up the art. His book in paperback is called Life and Acting, Techniques for the Actor. And what an honor it is to have him on the show. He continues to teach, and there will be a tribute for him, by the way, at New York City's Film Forum, March 20th and 21st, including a documentary about his Holocaust experience and the films The Strange One and Something Wild. Ticket information online at filmforum.org. I would like to talk with you about something that Alan Alda said.
Yeah.
About listening. He said this, we all know listening is important. To me, listening is being able to be changed by the other person. It's not waiting for your cue. It's not, when are they going to stop so I can talk? It's letting them in, letting them get inside you, letting them have an effect on you. Then you don't have to act. You listen to them and they make you angry. You listen to them and they make you fall in love with them. It's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's an excellent description, but the key to me described in one sentence for acting is Hamlet's speech to the actor when he says, suit the action to the word and the word to the action. Well, and I wrote, I think I mentioned it in my book, I said,
yeah,
it's absolutely true, but I would like to ask Mr. Shakespeare, how do you do that? You see? So the same way, Alan, obviously Alda knew something that he had inside of him that made that happen, but apropos of that, he's very right about listening. And I had an experience with Lee J. Cobb. So I was going to direct Cobb in a play. We became very good friends, and he knew about my work. And one day I invited him to come to my class to talk to the actors. And he said, Jack, I don't believe in acting classes, so I'm going to have to be honest, and you're going to be out of a job. I said, listen, Lee, just come to the class and tell them that. Tell them what you feel like. That's the most important. So he said, okay. So he came to the class and he said, you know, I think you've got a crazy teacher here because he's teaching acting. And let me tell you, I don't believe in acting classes, okay? So there we are. But you ask me any questions and I'll answer them. One of the actors said, Mr. Cobb, I don't understand. In life, you know, when people talk to me, I'm very comfortable. I respond. I'm right there. But when I get up on stage, even here in the class,
right,
particularly sort of 500 people, my God, you know, I sweat, I tense, I don't walk right, I'm self-conscious. And Cobb turned to the actor and said, oh, he said, so he teaches you to talk and to listen. Well, yes, that you got to learn. Absolutely, that's the most important thing. But how to do it, of course, because don't forget you're talking and listening. Yes, it's nice to describe that in life, but to do that in front of 500 people, that's a real challenge.
Yeah, while your knees are knocking. Are actors made or born? Can anyone do it with the right training?
I would say always faith. First comes nature, okay? So, you know, Spinoza said a wonderful thing. He said, man doesn't discover anything. Man asks the right questions, and nature nods her head and says yes, okay? Mm-hmm. So the point is, first, you have to have talent. That nobody can give you. That's impossible, okay? Now, the irony about this work is that if you want to know about painting, impressionist paintings, Spanish painting, museums, lots of books, you know, in our profession, which is 2,500 years old, up until the 20th century, even the greatest actors could not describe what acting was like. So, for example, for me, Molière was the chaplain of his day. You know, he wrote, directed, acted in his own plays, not a word about acting. Mm-hmm. The greatest, Edmund Kean, one of the greatest British actor, you know, Eleanor Aduza, look at Edmund Kean. Edmund Kean canceled a performance in Boston. There was no television at that time, no films. People made reservations 2 years ahead. Canceled the performance because he wasn't inspired, Faith, right? People were ready to burn the theater down, right? Then Eleanor Aduza, probably the greatest actress that ever lived, was supposed to act before the Tsar. She said she wasn't inspired, which means that first, of course, even without acting teachers, without acting classes, it's a necessity of nature. We need acting. Now, but to be able to repeat it, to be able to do it again, to grasp it, you have to study the laws of nature that make it happen. Now, people misunderstand faith. They think it's pretending. They think it's playing. It's not that at all. It's like you would say that art, writing, is not true. Painting is not really true. No, it's an art like any other art, which means it's an art because it's personal and it reveals a truth. Now, the challenge, of course, is what? What are the laws of nature in relation to all the arts? All the arts. The first person that identified it for acting was Stanislavski, okay? But they existed in all the arts, which is that it's a conscious approach to subconscious creativity, which means all art has its source in the subconscious. T.S. Eliot said, no great poet ever knows the words before he sees them on the page. The same way, no actor should know, just like no painter should know, what he's going to do until the work is done. You know, he discovers it. It's unfortunate that 100 years ago, Stanislavski identified these processes. And to this very day, Faith, they tell an actor, move over here, memorize your lines. Anybody can memorize lines. You don't have to be an actor. Anybody can be told, move over here or move over there, you know. But the challenge is what? Is to create what Marcel Proust said about acting, a masterpiece on a masterpiece. He said, the cathedral at Rennes is a masterpiece. So is the painting by the great French painter of the cathedral a masterpiece. And he said, in acting the same way, an actor can create a masterpiece on a masterpiece. As an example, Gordon Craig, great designer, saw a production of King Lear in Russia, and he said, it's the greatest Lear I ever saw. And what did he describe? He said, when Lear is on the heath with all those broken-down characters, and every time he talks to anybody, he was adjusting an imaginary crown, which meant Lear never gave up the idea of being the king. Now, even Shakespeare, Faith, would have applauded that. He would have said, wow, of course, it's absolutely right. He didn't necessarily write it. So what I'm saying, that's really the art of it.
And here's what I'm saying. Is this the greatest masterclass ever? I can't believe I'm witnessing this. This is one of the greatest living directors and teachers of acting, Jack Garfine. He has done this book, and you can hear from this conversation why this is the book. It's not only for acting students, you know, people who, you know, someday want to be an actor, but it's for people who are already actors and also for those who love movies, because it's a mystery to us. if we love movies, how it happens. I know that's true for me. I know it's true for you as you're listening. The book is called Life and Acting, Techniques for the Actor by Jack Garfine, and it's in paperback, which is even better. And by the way, it's being celebrated March 20th and 21st at the Film Forum in New York City. But I don't want to run out of time because I want to ask you this question. I keep thinking when I read that essay by Mr. Styler about you when you were just a young boy and you came over here from the concentration camps, 11 of them, and you had seen things I can't even say in words again because, you know, I fall apart every time I do. I keep trying to understand how you recover. I said life is the best revenge when I was coming into this conversation.
Yeah, I was very moved by you saying that.
Is that it? I mean, how did you recover lying there?
Faith, there's a kind of a misconception sometimes, you know. I've had it happen directly. People say, well, the reason Garfine understands, he knows all these things and teaches and writes, it's because look at the life, look what he went through. And I always have to stop them and say, first comes nature. First you're given something by life. Now comes life. And starts kicking you in the ass, makes all sorts of things against you. Your job is to keep that which God or nature has given you in spite of the kicks, in spite of what life does to you. Yes, it's true that in some degree, of course, when you suffer, you appreciate happiness. You know what it is. But if it meant that concentration camps or any kind of suffering were some sort of advantage to insight, I should be sending my kids to concentration camps.
Yeah.
It's not. The real struggle is to keep what you had, what God, what nature has given you, in spite of it. As you know, Faith, the same thing is true in love. Okay, you're hurt in love, you're disappointed. What are you going to do, give up and not fall in love again, not trust it again? No, you're capable of love. You keep going. You keep saying, I'm not going to permit what happened to me to destroy what I have inside of me.
Yeah, yeah. When you talk to me, you say at the ends of sentences a lot, you say, okay, after you finish the sentence, or you say, my name. And I think to myself, do you do that with actors when you're coaching them in a scene? Because I'm so with you when you do that. I mean, I think, oh, yeah, we're buddies together. We're a part of this together. It makes me feel very close to you. It makes me feel, you know.
Again, Faith, it's a subconscious process. Of course, because any art, if it's a work of art, it's personal. You know, Ilya Kazan, on his films, the first day of filming, he knew the name of the coffee boy. Because if it's supposed to be personal work, I don't even think of it consciously, do you understand? Mm-hmm. It's part of my nature. It's part of my conditioning. It's exactly the way I would talk.
I shouldn't call attention to it then and make you self-conscious.
No, I'm not self-conscious. I appreciate you telling me because I realize it's a part of me, which I didn't realize. I got that from you right now.
Oh, it's
the
a wonderful
that,
thing.
That I talk to my kids that way, but in my work, it has no meaning for me not to talk. That's the way I am. But you made me aware, and doesn't it make me self-conscious? It makes me see something that I've conditioned myself.
Yeah. I wish we could go on for hours and hours. Can I call you again someday?
Sure, anytime. Faith.
Thank you. Thank you
and
so much.
And I hope sometimes to see you in person. Yeah. I want to end one thing about Klerman, if you have 1 minute.
Yeah.
Klerman defined film for me in terms of acting, and he said, in films, you've acted. On the stage, you act.
I see. Ooh, how smart. What a guy.
Yeah,
and you too. Thank you so much.
Okay, Faith, thank you.
All right.
You.
One of the great living directors and teachers of actors, Jack Garfine, still doing it today, by the way, and will be celebrated at the Film Forum. But the thing is, his book is out, Life and Acting, Techniques for the Actor, and it's in paperback. Next, I'm on the hot seat, one mystery guest, and I have to do an interview. Stay with us.
She's gone to the movies now, and she don't need your help.